World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, man, thanks for joining me here this morning, October 17th, show number 2519. That's pretty amazing. What? 2519. Some of you seem like you've been here for all of them. I appreciate you. I get up early. I get up 5:30 every morning and just try to focus in on exactly what it is that the Lord would have us talk about today. I appreciate you all being here. I know you don't all agree with me, and you're allowed to come in here and throw your piece of meat on the table, and we'll chop it up and chew it up and spit it out. And at the end of the day, hopefully we'll walk away from here friends. Get some communion. I didn't even notice. Is Joe out there today? Are you here, Joe? Because it is Friday morning. It is communion day, and we are going to take communion. Did Joe give me an amen? Did he sleep in? Are you there, Joe? If not, yeah, there he is. Okay, Joe's there. Cool. I want to show you something real quickly before we get to before we get too far down the road. What am I looking for? Hey, folks, look. Pull up number 7 for me real quickly. I want to get this in you, then I want to move on. Okay? Folks, please get some metal. You can get it at At-Cost Metals, but that's not, I don't care if you get it at At-Cost. I don't care where you get it. Get some metal. Let me explain to you exactly what's going on so that you understand this, folks. If you own silver or gold, but you don't possess it, you don't own it. And what they're finding out, silver structural breakout, rapid repricing ahead. Now, I've told some of you, I bought silver. Michelle and I got silver like $15 or $17, I can't, years ago. And remember, when you get silver and gold, you don't spend it, you invest it, okay? Well, there's a real breakout going on, because here's what's happened. Many of you out there, maybe some of you, I don't know, have bought what, you have certificates of silver, certificates of gold. You bought silver and gold, and they say, here's your certificate, you own this gold, and we'll keep it someplace for you here. What's happened is they've sold millions and millions and millions of silver and gold that people did not take possession of. And all you have is a check that says you have money in that account. Good luck getting it. Are you hearing me? As this plays out, people are going to find out that gold and silver certificates that they have are not worth the toilet paper. And what will happen then, the repricing of silver and gold is going to take place. That's what we're on the verge of. And I don't care where you get it. Get some, folks. Get some. It's what silver is pushing 50 today. Isn't it pushing? I don't know. I didn't check it this morning. And they say it's going to go maybe to 500. Why is it going to go to 500? Jack, it's 54 today. It's maybe going to go to 500 because why? Because a lot of people are owning silver on paper, but they don't own the silver. Do you understand? So when that thing breaks out, people go say, oh my goodness. Joe Carrico says, London is out of silver. And if you're sitting there with a sheet of paper that says you have silver in a vault someplace, I'd get it as soon as you can. Get it as soon as you can and take possession of it. I didn't want to open with this, but I think it's that important. All right, it's that important. There are people saying silver is going to go maybe to 500. When it all shakes out and people find out that they don't really own it, I would do everything I could right now to take possession of any metals that you have stored someplace else. take possession of it, because you're going to get resistance, and it may be a long process. It's not like you're going to go to McDonald's and say, hey, here's my check, give me my gold. No. So just a warning there. Glenn's got his hand up. We're going to go to communion. Hey, listen, you do not want to go away from what I have here today. I'm just going to tell you, okay? You don't want to. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, there's a real short squeeze on, and what's causing it is it's something called the lease rate. These two big to fail banks, namely HSBC and JP Morgan, they have been shorting the silver now for years. Okay, but they do what they call naked shorts. I mean, they don't even have the silver, but what they do is they lease the silver. So they pay a lease rate, okay, in order to short the silver that they don't have. So they're leasing it. But the problem is London's running out of silver. Yeah. And so now they're getting squeezed because London has raised the lease rate from 1% to 40%. And it's costing them millions of dollars to short that silver. And London doesn't have the silver. So we are now, the COMEX is now in the process of shipping silver over to London to cover it. So it's a short squeeze. That's what's happening.
You're verifying what I'm saying, right, Glenn? A lot of people own silver and they don't have it. They don't own the silver.
Yep.
So let me give you this illustration, folks. Our son-in-laws, we got a lot of firewood around here. And so they're cutting up and selling firewood. And I keep telling them, you better cut, because as it gets colder, more and more people are going to want firewood. You may have a big stack now, but the day's going to come where you ain't going to be able to keep up with it, because everybody's going to want firewood. And good analogy, Glenn, that's where we are. That's where we are, folks. And do what you want. do what you want. But some big things going on there. Thanks for that update, Glenn. I'm sorry, I wanted to get to communion. We'll get it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jeff Klein. He's got his hand up too. Go ahead, Glenn.
Coach, you're right. I walked into Allen's coin shop there in Westerville. Never seen anything like it. I mean, people lined up. They were all buying huge amounts. And the owner would come out and was got to talk. I had to wait a half hour to talk to him. Mm-hmm. We had to deal with him. But the stories he's telling right now is crazy. He put in an order the other day for, I don't know, it was $500,000. He does all these orders every day. They told him that order could be a week or two out before he even.
And they can't get it, man. They can't get it, right?
But it was crazy.
Yep. So, folks, look, I'm not a financial advisor. I know that. But I know that Jesus said the gold is mine, the silver is mine. Didn't say the Bitcoin is mine. Huh? Didn't say the real estate was mine, although it is his, right? So just kind of a warning. And listen, you don't spend it, folks. You don't spend it. You invest it. But if you don't hold it, you don't own it, okay? Okay, so don't come and break in my house thinking I got a bunch of gold and silver in here, because it ain't here. But what we have, we have. Okay, just the best advice I can get. Okay, cool. Hey, let's get into the communion. Joe, thanks for getting up here. Folks, don't go away, man. I got some great stuff going on. Okay, by the way, put that in the chat. Silver structural breakout, rapid repricing ahead. Put that in there so you guys can see it. Folks, go to the pawn shop. Go whatever. You can buy silver rounds. I still have junk silver. Still have junk silver. Yeah, I bought this stuff when it was $3. On a dime was worth $3. That dime, a junk silver dime in there now, pre-1984 dime, is probably worth, $10 a dime, probably. And then, okay, so I don't get anything. Look, I'm not trying to pick your pocket. I'm just trying to tell you, man, get ahead of it. Get ahead of it, because the real breakout is coming ahead of us. So I'd say, go ahead, Joe. Thanks for getting up this morning, brother. Can't hear you. If you're coming in, we can't hear you, Joe.
Sorry. Apologies. There you are. Morning, everybody. The reading this morning is 1 John 1, 1 to 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us.
Manifested, folks, that means show up, okay? Manifest means it shows up. So that faith, that life, was it showed up in us. It showed up in us. Go ahead, Joe.
That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Wow. No darkness there. No darkness.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie.
Wow.
And do not the truth.
Hang on, Joe, can let me freeze it right there a second. That's most of Congress right there, folks. That's most of Congress. Republican, Democrat, they walk in darkness. They don't know the truth. Go ahead, Joe.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us all from sin.
Mm-hmm.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Because the truth is a person, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, will not dwell you. It's going to be almost impossible for you. Listen to me. For you to sin, and not if you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it's almost impossible for you to sin and not know you're doing it. Because your Holy Spirit's your conscience. Before you can go do whatever you want to do, you can go do what the Bible tells you this. The Holy Spirit will warn you before you do it, and you'll make a conscious decision to sin. Go ahead, Joe.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning again with gratitude in our hearts, with gratitude that you are the truth, Lord, that you are the light, that you have given us a way to eternal life and to forgiveness, because we serve a God that gave his, the only true God, who gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And it's really hard for us to comprehend, Lord. I think academically we can comprehend it, but really spiritually it's hard. The creator of everything gave so much to us. And we realize also, Lord, that we are created in your image. But I believe that since the garden, that image is tarnished and faded, but we still have a resemblance, and we were worthy for what was given to us. And we need to realize that so much was given, and it's hard to be worthy, but we need to try. We need to let you in, and we need to try. We need to let our conscience be turned on with the Holy Spirit and to walk the path you would have us walk, Lord, to be the ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ. To remember when we're in a situation and our temper comes up or our righteous anger, that we let those feelings be monitored and to do what Jesus would do in those circumstances. It's okay to have righteous anger, but we're warned not to sin when we have that in us. And that's where we so often fall short. We're not able to put the brakes on it. So help us to put the brakes on it, Lord. Help us to then to do what we should do. Turn a cheek or flip a table. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient. And in these changing times, and Lord, we're not in a static world. We're not in a world where everything is the same. And now is the time when our basic financial systems are stretching and are probably going to break. And with our flesh, we look at our limited resources financially and we say we can't do this or we can't do that, but help us to find a way. Those here who don't have many resources, let them find a way. Let them find a way. And take fear from our hearts, Lord, but bring us solutions in our minds. Holy Spirit-driven solutions, not fear. And don't jump at anything, any solution, without praying and confirming. And some of us here have challenges with our health. Let us remember that this can be the meal that heals.
Amen.
Let us put our pains and aches and illnesses on the altar and give them to our Lord, because he has purchased them. In Isaiah 53:5, his stripes have healed us and made us whole. We are healed. We just need to receive that which is already there. And we're grateful for communion, Lord. It's a bridge from us to you, to what you did for us in the past. And you've told us that we need to do this again and again to remember you or remember what you did. So we're doing that this morning. We ask you to forgive our sins and our transgressions. Bring us cleansing to your sight. For this is a holy moment. We ask you to bless this blood and this bread and this drink, representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for us 2,000 years ago. And help us to remember to do this when we're alone or with our families and in these days to come, to do communion, not waiting for someone else to lead the process, because it is important for our relationship with you. And I believe in the spiritual warfare that we're in, it's a foundation that strengthens where we stand and reminds us how we are protected from the enemies of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Joe. Hey, before I get too much farther, I was made aware of something. I don't want anybody out there to think that I ever, ever, ever belittle my wife. She's the unbelievable best thing that ever happened to me. And, you know, I say some things about Michelle did this, Michelle did. Sometimes I get nudged that maybe I'm exposing her, and I guard her with my whole life. So I want you to know, if I say something, you know, Michelle said this, Michelle, I'm trying to help you guys out there understand that we're just humans, just like all of you guys are, We have doubts and we have fears and we have worries and we have concerns and we have bills, just like everybody else does. And so I just want to say publicly that I would never, ever say anything that would publicly embarrass my wife. And I just want to say that. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I just acknowledge that. If I've done it, she's listening, I'm sure. If I've done anything to besmirch her publicly, I sure repent of that. And amen. 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 Okay. So look, got some good stuff here. We're halfway through already, 7:20 minutes. Okay. We need justice, folks. Let justice roll down like a mighty river. Pull up number one for me, if you will. Pull up number one. The wheels of justice turn slowly, and I don't know why, and you don't know why either. I came across this post today. Nancy Pelosi, first of all, how old is she? 80-something? How do we get to geriatric representation? Mitch McConnell fell down the other day, right? Thanks, Pete. She's 84. How old's Mitch McConnell? Somebody look that up. How do we get these geriatrics in charge in this modern-day world that we're in? How did we allow these people be in charge of everything, right? See, I think there's deep spiritual components. Somebody looking up Mitch McConnell for me? How old's Chuck Schumer? Why do these people want to go? Why do these people want to go and be there their whole lives? Feinstein, that's another one. Why don't they ever want to go home and just be with their children? See, I think there's a demonic aspect to it that we don't understand. And for whatever reason, they cover for each other. Republicans, Democrats, they all cover for each other because they're all part of the same team. So I just get oldest members of Congress. Look, 87. What? 88. I'm just looking at Maxine Waters, 87. You guys have any idea how old that is? Pelosi, 85. What the heck, right? Because it's a political system, a wicked political system, where the Republicans don't tell on the Democrats because the Democrats ain't going to tell on the Republicans. So I want to show you. I came across this post. I'll just, if you hang in there with me. Yeah, Jack, it's about power. No. It's demonic, friends. It's demonic. I wrote down right here a note to myself. Okay, ready? You ready, class? Can somebody name for me the last born-again president? I'll wait. Publicly born-again president. Admitted they were born again. George H.W. Bush, the old grandpa, said, you mean if I had a road to Damascus experience? No, I didn't have one of those. Can somebody tell me the last born again president? Richard Nixon? John F. Kennedy? Dwight Eisenhower? Who would it have been? The last unashamed born again Christian president?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt? Maybe. Any of the ones that we have right now? Do you think Jimmy Carter was really born again? He may have been born again, but something happened to that guy, didn't it? Huh? Something happened to him. Because Jimmy Carter's out there promoting the murder of unborn children and giving us the Department of Education. That ain't something that a born-again man does, right? The Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. Right?
Ronald Reagan.
Reagan? I don't know. Did anybody? Hey, friends, if I were to run for public office right now, that would be my proclamation right off the chute. I'm a born-again, spirit-filled Christian man. Take it or lump it, or like it or lump it, right? Do they say that? Do they lead with their faith? Is Lindsey Graham a Christian man? You guys think he is? Harry Reid? He's not even around anymore, is he? Mitch McConnell? That a Christian man? They're conservatives. And remember, conservatism's pretend salt, right? Jimmy Carter wouldn't know. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. You say, Coach, well, we're in the mess. We're in because of that. Now, I came across this post, right? And I want to share it with you. I'm going to show you several clips. On RJ wants to say something. Go ahead, RJ. And then this is really, really important. Go ahead, RJ. Oh, he took his hand down. That's okay. Okay, so look. This was Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi said that regarding the insurrection, Nancy Pelosi said that President Trump blocked the National Guard. Right? You guys all know that, right? That's what she said. So Chief Stephen Sund, who was the head of the Capitol Police, this is going to be a trail. Stay with me, okay? Stay with me. It's come down and says, ma'am, let me help refresh your memory. This is Chief Stephen Sund speaking to Nancy Pelosi, who said, no, the Trump blocked the National Guard. They called it, but Trump blocked it, okay? So Stephen Sund says, who repeatedly denied multiple requests from National Guard assistance on January 6th. Even on January 6th, your sergeant at arms denied my urgent request for over 70 minutes while he was running it up the chain for your approval. So this was the chief who wanted to call in the National Guard, and Nancy Pelosi blocked it. Are you with me? Stay with me here. Because they wanted the insurrection. The Pentagon offered National Guard assistance, but I had to decline because your SAA would not grant me the legal authorities required under federal law. So the guy who's the head of the cops is calling her out as a freaking liar. And then he shows on his phone the requests that he made. 924, 1153, 1258, 105, 120. He brought the receipts. Nancy, I ask you this, starting at 9:30 in the morning, telling you we needed National Guard support. And look at that. And finally, they approved it at 2:05 when it was too late to bring anybody in. So I want to show you something here. Justice has to roll down like a mighty river. It has to, folks. We have to demand justice. Scroll down here. Watch. I'm going to show you some things, Spence, as we go down. Stop right there. Did you guys see this clip of Nancy Pelosi? First of all, what is wrong with the rest of Congress that they would have an 86-year-old woman leading them? Anybody, huh? That ought to tell you all we need to know. 29 seconds. Watch this. Go ahead.
Congresswoman Pelosi, are you at all concerned that the new January 6th committee will find you liable for that day? Are you at all concerned about the new January 6th committee finding you liable for that day? Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it. Why are you coming here with Republican talking points as if you're a serious journalist?
The American people want to know. We still have questions. Thank you.
Do you think, does anybody think that that woman cares at all about America? The question and answer is no. Go on down. I'm going to take you through a series of these real quickly, okay? And then there's the chief and blah, blah, blah. Okay, now Ivan Raiklin, we all know Ivan Raiklin. Well, a lot of us know Ivan Raiklin. Watch this 37-second clip. He screams at Nancy Pelosi. Go ahead.
Hey, Nancy, who ran the Fed-surrection parliamentary coup on January 6th? When you and Paul Irving were running that op in order to conduct a coup d'etat. On the 2020 election, you and Mike Pence certified an illegal 2020 election. You, Paul Irving, your sergeant at arms, who used to be the sergeant at arms for Mr. Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, as well as Speaker of the House, John Boehner.
I can't say that.
Cannot disrupt. They want to arrest him for what he's saying to it, okay? We know Ivan, right? Scroll on down. Oh, what's this? Watch this, folks. Huh? This is Nancy Pelosi filming in her car, admitting. Go ahead.
We have responsibility, Terry. We did not have any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. This is ridiculous. You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural stuff should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient resources.
There's not a question of how they had been. They don't know. They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more. We have responsibility.
So it wasn't Donald Trump not letting the National Guard in, huh? Nancy says she'll take responsibility for it. Why? Because, folks, you better understand this. Donald Trump was an outsider, and he broke into their game. And they could not continue to play their game if they didn't have control of them. Go on down the next one. Won't keep on going. Huh? Go on. Okay, look. Oh, look at that. That's Nancy Pelosi with the head of the Capitol. Look at that. Huh? Head of the Capitol Police. Right there. Scroll on down. Keep going. Okay. Capital Security boss dead. This guy was blowing the whistle and he came up dead. Okay, go to the next one. I'm sorry, this is going fast. You got to see this footage of Nancy Pelosi unseen. It's 9 minutes. I'm just going to show you a little bit of it. Go ahead.
Who's that?
Some tough guy.
Okay, I'm not going to. This takes too long. This is all being the chat. You guys followed on your own, okay? And she confesses again. She should have done it, didn't do it. Going down, and they're blaming Trump, continuing to blame Trump. Ooh, what? Watch this. Who blocked the National Guard? Click on it.
And also that we can deliver the good news that you are now going to, instead of blocking the National Guard, that you will.
So why didn't we have 10,000 National Guard troops suited up and armed guarding the Capitol on the morning of January 6th?
There's a multitude of reasons, but namely, step one was a commander-in-chief's authorization, which we had. Step two was a request by the governing body, the local governing body. It's the mayor, since it's Washington, D.C., and or the heads of the Capitol Police Bureau.
And Mr. Patel, I would ask you if you recognize this letter.
I do. It's the letter I referenced from Mayor Bowser, I believe on January 5th, to the Department of Defense, where she specifically stated we would not be requesting any additional National Guard men and women. And that was her letter to us. That was the declination of a request. And so we were on standby.
He never offered.
Okay, so do me a favor. Just put this in the chat. Folks, go back and look at it. At the head of the planned insurrection was Nancy Pelosi. She was at the head of it. We have it. I can show you about six more clips that are under. Scroll down, Spencer. Scroll down. Yeah, there's a letter. There's another one. She's talking to her. That's her daughter. Go on down. There she. I'll play that one. Huh? Liar.
On January 6th, with violence against the Constitution, against the Congress, and against the United States Capitol, we beg the President of the United States to send in the National Guard. He would not do it. Not only would he not do it, when law enforcement people were being harmed, some later died, he would not send it in when an insurrection that he incited was causing damage to those assigned to protect the Capitol.
But folks, do you know Vinny, an 86-year-old woman that ought to be heading up the government? You know, Vinny. Okay, there are more. There's more. I'm not put in the chat. You can see it for yourself. I can give you more, but I'm not going to. We're running out of time. RJ, come on in. I got more. Don't go away.
Yeah, Coach. Since she brought up the whole issue of the duopoly, the uniparty, the DNC and RNC, right?
Right.
These two, and they're NGOs, and there's a lawsuit. It's gone to the Colorado Circuit Court of Appeals at this time, where a candidate here in Oklahoma had ran in the U.S. Senate. He's using that, you know, his personal situation, where Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, you know, he prevailed, has all the money, the power of incumbency. But what the whole deal is, they're blocking access at, you know, the primaries are what is being used. They're not in the Constitution. There's no primary set up in the Constitution. It was an experimental process. They started doing it prior to 1910. And then in 1910, it went to all the states. They were doing it in some southern states just to figure out how do we filter it out where we can just narrow it down to two candidates, which they could control both sides.
Amen.
So we're going to see what happens. You know, my hopes are not in the court's decision on something like this.
Yeah, our courts are already gone, man. Our courts are already gone, right? Come on, folks. They're already gone. Hey, Glenn, help me out here real quickly. We talked about this the other day. How does the Republican Central Committee pick a candidate? If they have three guys that want to run for mayor, how do they choose one, Glenn?
Well, they take the lead from the higher ups in the state, yep. and then they allow those candidates, and they have to have some kind of, you know, they have to have, you know, great, a lot of financial backing, recognized candidate who the Central Committee perceives as recognized candidates.
Right.
Then they allow those people to get in front of the Central Committee.
They don't care whether they're righteous or not or honest. They don't care.
No.
Who can win, right?
Yeah.
Who can win?
No. So what the state Republican Party is pushing as potential candidates, then they're allowed to speak in front of the County Central Committee.
A smoke-filled back room, I guess, huh? Kevin Van Story, come on in.
Well, you know, when I ran for Congress in 2020 in Southwest Missouri, if I'd have had a full 4.5 months to campaign, because that was during the COVID madness and the lockdowns, and a good $100,000 to do it, I could have prevailed. I was doing very well because I had a little coach behind me to give me the courage, and Christ that fills my heart gave me the courage to move forward. But when we went to that January 6th, you said there's no that you had been to D.C. many times, and there was no law enforcement presence on January 6th. Nothing like there had been before. I had never been there. I've never been to D.C. I wanted to go, you know, just on vacation and stuff to be a tourist. I went there specifically because my heart motivated me to go there because I knew the system had been rigged. I knew the election had been stolen.
There were no police. You're right, Kevin. I mean, there was a million there, and there were none. Hang on. RJ, hands still up, RJ. Because hang on, I'm going to go a different direction here real quickly. Okay, cool. Pull up for me. I'm tired. Are you looking at me? I'm tired of people sending me emails saying, well, why don't you talk about Trump? Why don't you talk? You wouldn't believe the number of emails I get about that. I'm going to make this as clear as I can make it. God raises up kings. Bible's very, very clear on that. And I said this a number of times. You don't have to be a man of God to be God's man. Where is Donald Trump in his morality? Is Donald Trump more immoral than Nancy Pelosi? Is Donald Trump more immoral than Bill Clinton? Is Donald Trump more immoral than Hillary Clinton? Why is it all of a sudden people want to hold Donald Trump to a higher standard than what they've held all the other people to? Now, look, I'm not an apologist for Trump, but I'm telling you this. God raised up Donald Trump. Who knows why? I don't know. But I'm going to show you something here. Pull up for me real quick. Trump, number 5. Trump needs saved. He is not a saved man. Friends, hang on. Is George W. Bush a saved man? How about Kamala Harris? She's saved? Mitch McConnell? Harry Reid? I mean, just run through them. Lindsey Graham, he a saved man? Why all of a sudden do Christians want to hold this guy to a higher standard than the damn local guy they're voting for who's just as lost, okay? I'm not an apologist. You can call me that if you want to. I'm going to tell you this. That man ain't saved. You know how we know he's not saved? Because he talks about the Lord more than Bush, any of them, and he doesn't understand it. He does not understand the gospel, friends. Trump sparks concern among Christians for saying he's maybe not heaven-bound. Did you know that? President Trump said, maybe I'm not going to make it to heaven. Scroll on down. Hey, I've been saying that. There's no way to heaven, baby. There's only one way. And if we would take time to read all this thing, listen to what Donald Trump said. Well, play it right there. Play it. Now, folks, what are his advisors telling him? His religious advisors, Paula White, have they not clearly articulated the gospel for him? You mean to tell me Donald Trump doesn't understand what it means to be saved? Listen to him. See if you think he understands what it means to be saved. And if he's lost, he's just as lost as Barack Obama. Nobody screamed and hollered about Barack Obama not being a Christian. Hell, they voted for him. Christians voted for him. Now all of a sudden Trump's a womanizer and rich because, folks, the propaganda is unbelievable. Okay, so they asked Trump about going to heaven. Watch this and tell me if you think Donald Trump is a saved man. Go ahead.
You talked about how you hope to end the war in Ukraine because it might help you get into heaven.
How does this help? Does this help?
I mean, you know, I'm being a little cute. I don't think there's anything going to get me in heaven. Okay, I really don't. I think I'm not maybe heaven bound. I may be in heaven right now as we fly an Air Force One. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make heaven.
Do you hear that guy? Do you know why? He doesn't understand the gospel. So you mean to tell me he doesn't know the wicked things he's done? And so they're asking him, are you going to make it to heaven? He said, I doesn't look like I'm going to get in there. No, probably not. Because why? Nobody has explained to him what it means to be born again, saved, redeemed. He doesn't understand it. We're talking, folks. We're dealing with an unsaved man. But I'm going to tell you this. He brings up Christianity then more than any president in my lifetime. Would anybody want to argue that point right there? Not that he's a Christian, but he brings it up. He brings it up. But he doesn't know the gospel. Scroll on down a little bit more. I'll shut up here and let y'all jump in here. Scroll down a little. This is fascinating. Fascinating. If you read this, Trump said Sunday that his comments last summer were an example of him being a little cute. I thought maybe it was social media. He needs better spiritual advisors around him, said Dana Loesch. God's grace covers all by belief, not deed. He doesn't get it. Reconciliation with God can't be earned by anyone. Salvation is a gift offered by grace to the whole world and received by faith in Jesus Christ, says Babylon Bee founder Seth Dillon. Jenna Ellis, a Christian who formerly served as Trump's attorney, said his comments are heartbreaking. He doesn't get it, does he? Either way, Trump continues to make it difficult for Christians to defend his worldview on God and truth, she treated. The truth, there isn't anything that's going to get him into heaven. It's not by works or peace deals or political comebacks. He has to repent of his sin, confess Christ is Lord and Savior. I hope that Trump is or becomes born again. As John MacArthur wisely observed, the only proof of evidence of salvation is a transformed life. Ellis told the Christian Post that she believes Trump's Charlie Kirk's assassination last month has led many, including Trump, maybe to ponder the importance of faith and life after death. Okay, so look, I'm going to say this for all you naysayers out there. I never said Donald Trump is a Christian. You never, ever heard that come out of my mouth. I said this. He's God's man. Ray, come on in.
Yeah. He's four people here that I got listed that run under the wrath of the Democrats. Was Trump, he got indicted, Peter Navarro, Steve Bannon, Roger Stone. Look what they did to General Flynn. Now, he said that these people will never make the Nobel Peace Prize awards. These guys just might. Comey, Clapper, Pelosi, Obama, he already did, right? And yep. Schumer. The Democrats right now are a majority, and they can shut the government down. What are we doing wrong, Dave? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get that. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. And we'll say this again to all you naysayers out there. Donald Trump legalized Jesus again. Whether or not he's a follower of Jesus, it appears to me he kind of knows him. He kind of knows about God. He don't know Jesus, right? But he's telling you and me it's okay to know Jesus. It's okay to be a Christian. It's okay. It's okay again. Huh? Why do we hold him to a different standard? You have any idea how many Christians I know that aren't saved? Ray, do you know any churchgoers that aren't saved? Anybody out there know any churchgoers that aren't saved? Man, oh man. Judd, come on in.
Yeah, I don't know if this will bring any comfort to anybody, but I don't really like people knowing all of my positions on everything in my personal life. And if you're running an operation, you have to have a certain stance. But I will say this, there was a time, there was an hour, there were witnesses when he and his personal circle accepted Jesus Christ let it be known to his team. Not his cabinet, to his team. And I am fortunate and I am blessed to know the Navy SEAL and the Ranger, both Christians, that lead his Bible study on a weekly basis. And they say that Trump knows the Bible better than they do. He's running an operation right now, because if he came out and told the whole world how he really feels, they'd kill him. We're getting there. We're getting to that point. Mm-hmm. The chapter will be turned, but right now they have to run the operation. And just like the spies that went into the land, they had to do their work. The mission's not over. They're at war. And at war, you can't show all your cards.
Amen.
It's hard for people to understand.
So, Judd, let me use me as an illustration here. When I got saved, and again, I wrote it down in my Bible, 1987, January 28th, 1987, my wife's birthday. I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't no Christian. I got saved. I wasn't a Christian. I was a name it, claim it, phony Christian for what? 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, five. How many years? Till the ACLU came and smacked me in the mouth. I understood it was a war. And all of a sudden, Christ became real to me. And I got to show you something here real quickly. Once you guys, if you think about this, pull up number 3 real quick, Spence, and it should be already logged up there a second. I want you to think about this. You guys don't have any idea the hell the Dobbenmeyer family, my children, went through when we went through that thing with the ACLU and everything. You don't have any idea. You have no idea the impact it had on my children, the innocent victims that you don't see, people who loved me, loved our family. We don't see that. We don't see that. Have any idea what they've tried to do to Donald Trump's family? This is a clip. I just saw it this morning. It's not very long. Go ahead and play it.
Attacking a political opponent. There's never been, and I'm a legitimate opponent. I watch my son. He's got the number one best-selling book now. My son, Eric, is a wonderful kid. That guy spent so much time with subpoenas. He got more subpoenas than anybody in the history of our country. Think of it. And he's an innocent, good boy. He's a good kid. He's always been a good kid. All of my children are good. They went through hell. My children went through federal grand juries on a hoax. Think of it. You have Adam Schiff and Hillary Clinton and others make up a hoax and then wanting to put, so they know it's a hoax, and they go before the press, say, Donald Trump Jr. will go to jail because of what he's done with Russia. I'll never forget, I get a call from my son, Don, and he said, Dad, I'm being accused of something with Russia. I don't know anything about Russia. He didn't know anything about, think of it, how bad they are. They say he'll go to prison for the rest of his life. He knew nothing about it. On a hoax, the Russian hoax, Russia hoax, on a story that they made up. And they made it up in order to explain why Hillary Clinton lost an election that she lost by pretty good numbers. The second one, that this one, actually the second one was even better, but the third one, this one was too big to rig. It was just too big to rig. They would have rigged. They tried to rig it. But think of it. They want to send my children to jail, but they were after Don in particular. I'll never forget Adam Shifty Schiff, a total crooked guy, lying in Congress, making up a phone conversation that I have with you, totally made up. Then when he heard it was taped, he wanted to disappear. And Nancy Pelosi went crazy because they wanted to impeach me based on the conversation that was made up. When they heard the tape, everybody, you know, I won it unanimously in the Republican Party. I got every single vote, something that never happens. And I beat it. But think of it. They want to put my son in jail for something that they made up. So they know they made it up. And they say he will serve the rest of his life in prison. These are sick, bad people. And don't tell me about us going after them. If anything, where we've been very, very soft. I wouldn't be that soft, I'll tell you that. Thank you very much, everybody.
We don't think about that, do we? What they tried to do to his family. Hey, folks, I've been through it, man. I told you guys, I remember that day. when I was being sued by the ACLU, and we were sitting on the bed, Michelle and I were looking at the headlines of the Columbus Dispatch, and my wife's sitting there crying, and she said, "Don't you understand that's your children's name? These people are vicious, man. They're vicious." Now, I'm going to say this again. If Trump's playing for the other team, we're screwed. We are. I'm sitting here to tell you this. He's God's man right now. Maybe it's judgment. Maybe Trump's president because we deserve judgment. Could be. I don't know. But he's God raised him up for whatever reason. Dale, come on in.
Well, Coach, so first off, I want to tell you how much I really love this show, right? You'll know the tree by its fruit. It's my 33rd anniversary, and here I sit listening to you guys. Oh, hallelujah. Now, going back to Trump, Coach, you know what? People want to, I was the chairperson for Louisiana in 2016 for America's Party with Tom Hoeffling because I don't vote Republican, blah, 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 and I did not like Trump. But you know what? I had no problem. When I watched and saw that man's fruit, you remember you said it the other day? You'll know them by their fruit. You tell me his fruit is not good. You show me a president who is pardoned Christians for standing out in front of abortion clinics, who's pardoned people because he knows that them January 6ers, that was a rigged thing. Show me one of these guys. That guy right there has defended the faith better than most pastors I know.
And he doesn't even understand it. He doesn't even understand the faith, but he's made it legal again.
Exactly. You know what? Because let me tell you what. If Trump came on and said, "All right, I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer, Coach," does that make him saved?
No,
it's something you experience. It's like what you said. I got it written down in my Bible. You know what? You grow as a Christian. We become stronger as a Christian. Donald Trump is the best thing that has happened to Christians in decades for this country. Mm-hmm. And both sides of the aisle absolutely loathe this man. And Eric Trump, I've been listening to some of his interviews, Coach. Do you know how much they've spent on these false charges trumped up against him? You think you had half a billion dollars. And you know what? That was before he ran for president. You know, he could walk away. He could have walked away. It's what they said. He could have. So why didn't he, Coach? Is he that stupid? No, you know what? He's got more faith in this country. He's got more belief in standing in the gap. What does it say in Ezekiel? I look for a man to see who would stand in the gap. You show me another billionaire. No, they ain't going to do that. That's their money. Nah, we ain't going to do that. We're too big. Let me tell you what. Oh, wait a minute, Coach. Let's just go with plan B, Kamala Harris. Yeah, let's go with that. That's what we want. Wonder where we would be today. Do you think Cal Zastra would be out of prison? Do you think Pastor Bill Dunphy would be out of prison? They'd be trumping up more charges. Coach, let me tell you what. You don't got to be, as you said, you don't need to be a man of God to be God's man.
That's exactly
and right. And he is bullseye God's man, not only for America, Coach. Look what he's doing in the world.
Pastor Tom Gill just texted me to say he stood between them and us. Huh? Amen? He stood between them and Bill Dunphy. Huh? He sure did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Kamala Harris, Bill Dunphy still be rotten in jail. Randy.
Well, I'll say this for Trump. He has brought Israel and Zionism and all the world globalism right into where everybody can see it, Coach.
Yes, he has.
And whether he's got bad relationships here and there, that will be seen. But what he's done is he's brought he woke up our country and the church. He's given us the ability now to see things for how they are. So the church didn't do that, Coach. Donald Trump did that.
No, that's right. That's right. Oh, my goodness. You don't have to be a man of God to be God's man. Hey, let me ask you this. Do you think he wishes? Do you think in his heart he'd like to repent? Or do you think he gets up in the morning and wants to be vicious and get people? Or do you think in his heart he would like to be a righteous man? I think we all need to think about that. Johnny, come on in, Johnny.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. That's really a interesting topic because look at how he's changed his position on Ukraine and Zelensky, because he's hitting a door that he can't open with Putin. So he's got to try a different strategy. And it's my understanding he's softening on China too a little bit. So he's up to a different game. He's trying to get us out of this somehow.
Trust but verify though, right, Johnny? I'm trusting him, but I'm watching him.
Amen.
I'm watching
him. Yep.
Yep. I'm gonna tell you this. I sure don't go to my friends and say, boy, be a Christian like Donald Trump. I sure don't do that. No, sir. I don't teach my children to be like Donald Trump. No, no, no. He's God's man for this time. Jeff Nares.
Hey, morning, Coach. Hey, Judd, if you're out there still, with your connections that you told me about, the guys that are doing Bible study, what's Paula White's involvement at the White House? Do you know anything about that?
You'll find out.
I'm sorry. Anybody?
Maybe he's not out there.
Yeah, he's there. He lit up there.
I said, you'll find out.
Oh. Okay, I just didn't know if she had involvement with those guys or not. Listen,
folks, are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? Christian Mike Pence is about to be indicted. You know he's under investigation, don't you? You know Mike Pence? Christian Mike Pence? Christian Mike Pence? He was in cahoots with Nancy Pelosi on J6. You understand that? Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, he was Mr. Christian, Mr. Christian. Mike Pence, right? And Trump had enough sense, at least the second time around, to boot him to the curb, right? Oh, yeah, that truth's going to come out too. Yes, sirree. Christian Mike Pence playing for the other team. P.S., come on in.
Hey, Dave, tell us about what penance is. Your Catholic background.
Tell me, I'm sorry, I missed the beginning.
Tell us what penance is all about, because what if that's the only thing Trump understands is doing penance for what he's done. And now he's put his whole family on the line as penance and his whole, you know, empire.
Can you think of anybody who's sacrificed more than that guy? The money he spent making his children's enemy of the state. So penance, here's what I would understand. For those of you, I'm not making fun of Catholicism. Stop it. I was raised Catholic. And so you would, in order to get penance, you would go back and you confess your sins you would go back in a little, one room, just a little, like a little cupboard. You'd sit in there and the priest would be on the other side of it and you would confess your sins to the priest. And the priest would give you, he would bless you, forgive you, and then give you penance. What? Okay, Coach, they didn't call you by name because you couldn't see him. He couldn't see you. He would say, 10 Our Fathers, 10 Hail Marys, and 3 Glory Bes. Folks, I'm telling you, unless Catholicism's changed, that's what it was. So when I left out of the confessional, I had to go say a bunch of prayers as my penance or payment, right? So if we're raised in a Christian environment, we don't understand there ain't no penance. Christ paid the price. He wants you to have a changed life. He wants you to live in glory to him. He ain't asking for any payment back. No, there's no punishment involved with what you did. He paid the price. In my mind now, that's what Catholicism taught. I go confession. Priest hears my confession. He gives me prayers to say his penance. And then I can go take communion. That's the process. I'm not here to criticize it. I'm here to tell you that's the process. When, in fact, we heard the Pope say, nobody has a direct line to the Holy Spirit. The Pope said that. Well, I do. Holy Spirit's inside me. What are you talking about? So again, this thing is what we call Christianity is so convoluted and so mixed up. Kevin, quickly.
Dave, don't you find it interesting that some Christians that want to feign piety and self-righteousness will spend more time criticizing Trump than spending time praying for him that he actually finds salvation?
Amen. Hey, how about this, Kevin? Can you imagine what the average person would be like if they had Trump's money and they had Trump's power? You have any idea what the average person would be like? I had a guy tell me, I think I've shared this with you before. I had a man say, you think the temptations are great when you're poor. Wait till you're rich. We're talking about a rich man. The Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. I'm going to tell you this. Donald Trump ain't in the kingdom. He's God's man. See you tomorrow, Monday.